No one here has ever done this, but I hear that there are folks who hear their phone ring, and they pick it up, they look at it, and then they swipe whichever way you swipe on their phone to not answer and send it to voicemail. It's not that we, or not that they, those people, don't like the person that's calling. Instead, it could be because they're busy with other stuff. They just don't want to talk to that particular caller right then. And of course, it could be that they just don't like the person that's calling. That's a possibility. And the reasons for not answering go on and on. There might be a time when someone else is closer to the phone than they are. And so that other person picks up the phone and they look at it and they say, hey, it's so-and-so, are you going to answer this? And that leads me to the title of the sermon today. And my question to you today is, hey, it's God calling. Are you going to answer? So y'all are already here, so you can't get up and leave now. I'm kidding. Even before I became a pastor a few short years ago, I talked a lot about each one of us finding a ministry. And I will tell you that in the coming weeks or months, I will most likely continue to do so, maybe even the coming years, because I feel like it is so important for us individually and as a church. And while somebody's probably looking at the screen and saying to themselves, whew, I'm glad he's not talking to me, because everyone knows that God only calls pastors and preachers. So I'm going to sit this one out, and I'm going to get caught up on Facebook for the next few minutes. First of all, the idea that God only calls pastors and preachers is not really accurate. In fact, it's not accurate at all, because God calls people from all types of backgrounds into all types of service for him. Yes, God does call pastors and preachers, but be assured he calls more people who are not pastors and preachers into ministry, ministries that are not necessarily even pulpit related, than he does to pulpit related ministries. Okay? In the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, we read the story of Moses. And I want to do a real quick history of what was going on in Moses' life. The Israelites had fallen out of grace with the leaders of Egypt. And over a period of time, they had gone from being highly favored to becoming slaves to the Egyptians. Moses was born at a time when the ruler of Egypt, called the Pharaoh, in an effort to control the population of the Israelites, he declared that if a Hebrew woman, an Israelite woman, had a child, if the child was a girl, then the child could live. But if it was a boy, the midwives were ordered to throw the baby boys into the Nile River. And that the intent that was to let them drown. Go ahead. Moses' mother refused to let that happen to her baby boy. So she hid Moses for 3 months after he was born at the house, and then she put him in a floating basket and placed him along the banks of the Nile River. And then she had Moses' sister stand a short distance away to see what would happen. Of all the people who would come along and find this baby, it was the Pharaoh who had ordered all the baby boys to be killed. It was the Pharaoh's daughter who came along and found Moses. So let's read what happens next. Exodus 2, verses 5 through 8. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Then his sister, who was hiding around the corner there, asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. How about that? All these things happen. You want me to go get somebody for you? "Yes, please." And she brings Moses' mother to take care of the baby. Because of the faithfulness of Moses' mother, she not only doesn't lose her son, instead, she ends up raising him in a very highly favored position finding favor in the eyes of those who would have had her baby killed. And I'm going to step out and say, she probably got paid by Pharaoh's daughter to do that. Is that like God or what? If you are struggling with finances, be assured that God already has a solution out there. You keep doing your part. Remain faithful. Know that God's plan is already in action. He is more than able to show you favor in the eyes of the very ones who once set out to hurt you. He is more than able to bless your family. He is more than able to keep your family together, even though it might seem hopeless. He is more than able to take care of your finances. In fact, he is able to cause that blessing to come from the very one who wanted to destroy you. How about that? He is able to cause that blessing to come from the very event in your life that you felt like was going to destroy you. So as we move forward, we see that Moses grows up as a privileged grandson of the Pharaoh. But a day comes along and he sees this Egyptian beating a Hebrew slave. And look what happened. Exodus 2. One day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people, the Hebrew people, the Israelites, were, and he watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Glancing this way and that, and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Yeah, that's not good. Even worse, the next day, Moses finds out that someone had seen what he did, even though he looked this way and that way. Someone saw what he did. There's a whole sermon there. We could just stop and preach till noon, but I'm not going to go. We're going to move on. Even when you look this way and that way, be sure somebody's watching you. Then we'll move on. Then Pharaoh finds out. He tries to kill Moses. So Moses runs away. He ends up in a place called Midian where he meets a man named Jethro. Moses ends up marrying one of Jethro's daughters. He settles down as a shepherd to one of Jethro's flocks of sheep. And life was good. Moses seemed content. But that wasn't the end of the story. Isn't it interesting how that works out over and over in the lives of people who God calls? In fact, as long as God is leading and we are following, it isn't over until we say, nope, I ain't doing that. And even then, God doesn't walk away from us. Pardon my English. Watch this, because here's where it starts to get interesting. And where a story from the Old Testament starts to speak to us today. God didn't save Moses' life when he was just a baby, just so he could grow up and be the grandson of the Pharaoh and then kill someone, run away to the desert, get married, settle down, and become a fugitive sheep herder. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a fugitive sheep herder, I guess, if that's what God has for you, had called you to be. But that wasn't God's call for Moses. And because that wasn't God's call for Moses, that was part of his story, but it was not the end of the story. Let's look what was going on back in Egypt during this time. During this same time that Moses is moving on with his life, Pharaoh, who wanted to kill Moses, had died. But in spite of that, the Hebrew people were still being treated very harshly and horribly. They were still slaves to the Egyptians. Verse 24 of Exodus chapter 2 says that God heard their groaning and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Be assured, even in those times when it might seem that you are alone, you're not. And in those times when you cry out to God, and you think he doesn't hear you, he does. Know that it is in those times that God is working his plan. And even in those times of loneliness, in those times of hurt, in those times of great sorrow and uncertainty, God is still in control. God is still sovereign. We have difficulty understanding that because we can only see what's going on around us. But God's hand reaches further than we can even imagine. So let's see what God was doing with Moses way far away from Egypt while all this was going on. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. So Moses is out in the middle of the desert watching the sheep, and he sees this bush on fire. But it wasn't burning down, it was just burning. And since this was unusual, he walks over and takes a look, and as he does, God calls him out by name. Well, that'd be scary. Moses, Moses. And Moses immediately answers, here I am. Remember that, here I am. In fact, let's all just say that. Here I am. We'll say it again. Here I am. Now you're committed. Let's keep reading. Verses 5 through 9. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. And right now, Moses is probably running around, pumping his fist in the air, going, yes, you go get them, God. Except there's another verse. Let's read verse 10. So now, go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And Moses about then is probably thinking, ooh, I didn't see that coming. You know, God, I was really excited about that whole what you were going to do back in Egypt thing, at least until you got up to that part about me going. And I agree someone should go, but I'm not so excited about that someone being me. And far too many times, we're not any different. We hear a message about going out into the world and sharing the gospel. We hear about opportunities at the church to serve and to get involved, like driving a route for Meals on Wheels, starting a women's Bible study, volunteering as an usher, volunteering for the hospitality room after church, directing traffic out in the parking lot when it's needed, or a host of other things. We hear all of those things, and we think in our very spiritual inner voice, yes, Lord, I hear you. And yes, Lord, that is such a great idea. But mostly, Lord, I'm glad there are others who will go and do these things. Please bless them as they go out and work for you. And when we do that, not that anyone here has ever done that or would ever do that, but when other people do that, they're not really thinking that each of us are called to go and to do. Not just those others, whoever those others might be, but every one of us. Let me assure you that God calls each of us to something. But the choice as to whether or not we will answer the call, well, it's kind of like that cell phone. It's up to us. So today, at some point, you feel a tap on the shoulder. If it's after church, it might be me. If you feel a tap on the shoulder while I'm still up here, it might be the Holy Spirit tapping you on the shoulder and saying, hey, it's God calling. You going to answer? So let's look how Moses responded to God's call. Exodus 3:11. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Remember back in verse 1 where Moses heard God calling from the burning bush. There was this excitement over this burning bush, and it was so cool, and I'm pumped up and I'm excited about that. And Moses immediately says, here I am. And in just a matter of a few minutes, Moses goes from here I am to, oh, I can't do that. That ain't going to work for me. God, do you understand what you're asking of me? I am nobody. I am certainly not qualified to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And this is not my notes, but let me tell you something really cool. Moses had been tending sheep for 40 years. What better person to lead this group of people out of Egypt than a shepherd? He'd been practicing. He didn't even know he had been practicing. But God had placed him in practice mode with a bunch of silly sheep so that he could lead a bunch of silly people. Isn't that cool how God does that? So God answers in verse 12. And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses, just go. I'll be with you. Just go. But notice what God said. He said, when you have brought the people out of Egypt. Not if you manage to pull off this seemingly impossible task, but instead, when it's done, then this is what's going to happen. We need to get some of the ifs out of the way and get on board with the wins. When this happens, because as long as there an if is there, that means we're not totally all in. It means we're still saying, well, that might work. But God was saying, I'm going to send you back, and when it happens, you're going to worship. That's faith. You see, when God calls, we go. And then he goes with us to accomplish what he called us to do. I will assure you that God will always equip us with the tools that are necessary to accomplish what he calls us to do. But Moses still wasn't convinced. In verse 13, he says, well, suppose I do go. Let's just say, just between me and you, God, what if I do go? So he was thinking about it, he was considering it, but he was not committed to the idea. So I will tell you, there's a pattern that we often see among those who God calls, which, let me point to some extent, would be every born-again child of God, because God does call everyone who is born again. First of all, there is the call. Sometimes God speaks to us through a sermon. Sometimes it is through someone who he sends to speak directly to us. Sometimes he speaks to us when we're praying or when we're reading the Word of God. Sometimes it's through events that take place that are undeniably God's doing. Maybe it's a burning bush. More likely, it might be a burning bush, I don't know. But more likely, a series of events that lead us to understand what God is saying. But those are all different ways that God speaks to us. That's where it starts, and it would be great if that's where it ended, and we would just go do what God has called us to do. Unfortunately, we are not all that different from Moses, and that's not always what happens. Instead, what happens next, many times, is the person that was called starts to question the call. With Moses, it was, well, I'm not qualified. I just don't see me doing that, God. I know you're God and all, but I just don't see me doing that. I can tell you that when God calls us, it might not be something that we ever pictured ourselves doing. But be assured, it will be something that God will use for his glory. It was Henry T. Blackaby who said, the reality is that the Lord never calls the qualified, he qualifies the called. So when God calls us to do something, we need to just go do it, knowing that he will go with us and that he will give us the ability to accomplish what he has called us to do. If that wasn't true, then we would have to say that God makes mistakes. And be assured that he does not make mistakes because he's God. Well, thankfully it doesn't end there. We serve a God who, in spite of hard-headedness, will continue to draw us and reassure us of our calling. I speak from experience. Let's go back to Exodus. In chapter 3 and then into chapter 4, we read that God told Moses exactly how things would work out. Listen, just do what I tell you to do and everything will go according to my plan. And we would think that the fact that he saw this burning bush that wasn't consumed, he heard the very voice of God speaking to him and laying the plan out in front of him, you would think that would be enough. And it would reassure Moses that, you know what, I'm just going to go do whatever God told me to do, and I'll go wherever God tells me to go. But that's not what happened. Even though Moses still wanted to make excuses, still God reassured him. Aren't you glad God doesn't give up on us that easily? It took me a lot of years to answer the call. But God was there the whole time. I feel assured that he was doing this. Looking at his watch. But here's what I know. He was still there. Working out his plan. And that gives me hope that he's not finished with me. He did not bring me to this point to lead me. Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Moses answered, I know he said it like that because the Bible said he stuttered. What if they do not believe me or listen to me? The Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? Well, this, it's a staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. And Moses threw it on the ground and became a snake, and he ran from it. I think I'm kin to Moses. Amen. And then the Lord said to him, I'd have a problem with this. Reach down and take it by the tail. Oh, Lord. So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Now, once again, at this point, we would think that surely all this stuff that just happened, these miraculous events, would be enough to convince Moses to go. But God keeps going. Then the Lord said, put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand in his cloak, and when he took it out, it was leprous like snow. Now, put it back into your cloak, he said. And Moses put it back in his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. And then God says, listen, Moses, when you go back, and when you do these things, if they still won't listen to you, then go down to the Nile River, get some water, pour it on the ground, and it'll turn to blood. And you would think at this point, surely Moses would be convinced. But he wasn't. Moses tried again in verse 10. Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. Other versions say, I stutter. God answered again, verses 11 and 12. The Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. Boy, that speaks volumes right there, doesn't it? Then in verse 13, Moses makes one final appeal. He says, oh, Lord, please just send someone else. I got nothing left. I have no more excuses. All I got left is just send somebody else. Exactly. Well, God was not pleased. In fact, God was angry. Look what he said in the next verses. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, what about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way. Woo! He is already on his way to meet you. All the excuses that you might have, God's already heard them. And he knew the answer to them, and he had the solution to all your excuses before they ever came out of your mouth. Your brother Aaron the Levite, he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth, and I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so you can perform miraculous signs with it. So here's what you're going to do, Moses. You're going to talk to Aaron. Aaron's going to talk to the people and Pharaoh and all these other people. All you have to do is just carry that staff. So looking at this three-step pattern that we often see among those who God calls, first of all, we see that there is the call. And then we see that often there is a time of questioning the call. And then the third and final step of that pattern or process is either we accept the call or we walk away. Fortunately, Moses accepted the call that God placed on his life. God just sent someone alongside him to help with the things that he needed help with. And that's just the way God is. He calls us. He equips us. He helps us. And then, if we choose to go, he might even send someone to go along with us. We can be assured that he will always go with us, which means we still have to go. He did not send somebody instead of Moses. He sent somebody with Moses. And the outcome was exactly as God had told Moses. The Israelites were delivered from slavery eventually. Pharaoh ended up letting the people, the Hebrew people, go. He let them out of their slavery in Egypt to go to a land called Canaan. There's a long story in between there, but that was the end result. Today, each of us has a calling to service in the kingdom of God. I don't know what yours is, but I know God has a calling on my life, and I also know that he has a calling on your life. My calling is one that if you would have told me a few years ago that I would be fulfilling, that I would be a pastor of the church, of a church, I would have told you just plain out that you're nuts. Although, I know I'm where God wants me to be. And although I might not know what your calling is for this particular season in your life, as I've said before, and no doubt I will say it again, God never saved anyone to just sit back and do nothing. There are a lot of specific callings, but there is one that every follower of Christ has on their life, and it's found in Matthew 28:19. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Keep going. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So we see that Jesus said, go. He said, make disciples. He said, baptize them. And he said, teach them. We've been doing a Bible study series here on Wednesday nights, just that, discipleship. Every one of us is called to be a disciple and then to go and make a disciple. Too many times we hear something like this, or we hear somebody stand and say that we all have callings, and our answer is, but I can't do this, or I can't do that. Sound familiar? Sure it does. It sounds just like Moses. A real common reason for not going is the very one that Moses used. I can't speak to the public. I get scared. I stutter. Look what God told Moses when he used that excuse. The Lord said to him, Who gave man his mouth? Did you make that mouth on your face, Moses? Did you do that yourself? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you speak. I will teach you what to say. If that has been your reason, then I will say to you what God said to Moses, go. God will help you speak. He will teach you what to say. I think back a couple of years ago, and I went to Roxanne and just asked her what she would think about teaching a Bible study. And I think you had maybe done public speaking one time at that point. 2 years later, she teaches a Bible study every month. She teaches on the first Wednesday of every month in our first Wednesday service. And she is right up there with some of the best teachers I've ever heard. Think what would have happened if she would have said, "Yeah, I can't do that. I'm a drummer." And she's a good drummer. But if you just wanted to stick with that and say, but God, I'm already doing something. I don't think so. Think of the people, unknown number of people, who over the past years, couple years, have been touched through the teaching from Roxanne. But she did not say any of those Moses excuses. She said, okay. Several years ago, and for a lot of years, I'll come back to me for just a minute here. I was the worship leader here at the church for many, many years. And I knew God had a calling on my life. And my excuse was, but I'm already doing ministry. And surely that's enough, God. And even though I knew that he had a different calling or an additional calling on my life, I was still sticking, holding to my guns of, but I'm already doing ministry. But at some point in there, that started changing a little bit. And I agreed to come up. Pastor Magin was the pastor here, and he had to go out of town. And he said, would you fill in for me? And I went, yeah, I guess. You know, okay. And then at one point, he had to be gone for 2 Sundays, and I had to do it 2 Sundays in a row. And I'm like, yeah, this is pushing a little bit. And then I had an opportunity to go to Africa for 2 weeks. And held a revival in the Congo, in Kinshasa. And still, I would not even admit that I was preaching. I would refer to it as speaking. Because I didn't want that word attached to my name. Because I was absolutely refusing. Even though I went all the way to Africa, I was still refusing to call. But at some point, God really got a hold of me and spoke to me. And there was a whole series of events, and that's a whole other sermon. But through that series of events, I knew that God was calling me to more. But I will tell you this, at any point, I could have said, no, I'm not going to do it. Thankfully, there were people like Brother and Sister Burrell who prayed for me, who encouraged me, maybe even poked me a little bit. Like, why aren't you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Yeah, I heard those words. And yet here I am, and then here I am, 5 years later, and I know I'm where God wants me to be. I say that to say this. Roxanne could have said, nope, not going to do it. I could have said, nope, not going to do it. But look what God has done. Not because I'm great, not because Roxanne was great, but because we were willing to say, Lord, I'll go. Here I am. Let's say that again. Here I am. That's really all God asks of us is to say, here I am. He'll take care of the rest of it. We just have to be willing. He will never force us to follow the calling he has placed on our lives. But I promise you, he will always give us the ability to do what he has called us to do. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I cannot stand up here and preach. I cannot stand up here and teach a Bible study. But I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The Bible said it. It's true. So go. When it comes to sharing the gospel, another common reason for not doing it is, well, I'm afraid somebody's going to ask me a question and I won't be able to answer it. And I will tell you, that's somewhat of a legitimate reason. It's not legitimate enough to ignore the calling on your life, but it's one I can understand. And once again, it's not insurmountable. 2 Timothy 2:15 says this. I want to read from the King James. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How do we get past not knowing? We study. And when we are willing to do that part, when we don't have to be ashamed, if we will study the word of God, if we will come to Bible study and hear the word of God taught in a way where we never thought of it before. Roxanne explains stuff differently than I do. When Mike teaches Bible study, he explains it differently than I do. When others have stood and taught Bible study, they do it differently than I do because they might explain something in a way that you will understand better than I do. So we study ourselves. We hear from others as they teach from the Word. And when we do that, we don't have to be ashamed. We don't have to worry about not having the right words. Plus, I can tell you this, that when God places the right person in front of you, he will give you the right words to say to the right person. Another one of the devil's favorite tools to use against them to stop them from stepping into their calling is this. The devil will say, you can't do anything for God. Look what you've done in the past. You have messed up so much. God cannot possibly use you. So I'm going to handle that statement with one short statement. The devil is a liar. In fact, if he's talking, it's a lie. So why do you listen to him? Things like, stay with me here and listen. Moses, you cannot possibly think you're qualified to lead God's people. God's people being the key here. God's people. You killed a guy and hid his body. Sounds legit, right? You can't be a leader for God because you killed somebody. Somebody said something about me recently that I couldn't be a pastor because I used to be a car salesman. That's pretty legit. My dad always told me, if you can't sell cars and live for God, you probably couldn't do anything else than live for God. I'll just throw that out there. Today, please listen to what I'm telling you. Do whatever it is that God has called you to do. Ignore that negative talk from the devil. Ignore that negative talk from anybody else who tries to fill your head with that kind of nonsense. If it goes against what you know God has called you to do, why are you listening to them? Don't take your spiritual advice from somebody who's not spiritual. God is doing some amazing things right now at High Point Church. I am so excited to see what I see happening at High Point Church. I look at these couple minutes at the beginning of a service and opening, and I see somebody like Jennifer up here with Mike. You don't know what that does to my heart. I see Jordan up here working. I see Andrew up here. And I see all these different young people up here just opening a service and setting the tone for the entire rest of the service. You came too late to tell me that God is not doing great things at High Point Church. I believe that God is speaking to people's hearts like never before. He is speaking, and maybe you're saying, but God, could we purpose together? That means all of us. Could we purpose that we will do what God has called us to do, both individually and as a church body? Could we purpose together that we will work together to accomplish great things for Him? Not for High Point Church, not for Pastor David, not so that we can see this place full and go into two services. Not for that, because that glorifies man. Now, I want to see that, and I'm believing we're going to. But that's not the reason for it. Everything we do needs to be for one reason, that is to glorify God. When Moses went back and was called back to go back to Egypt and to speak to Pharaoh, it wasn't so everybody could say, look at Moses. No, it was so everybody could see what happened and say, look at what God. If God can take or make the events of Moses' life fall into place, starting when he was a baby, think about that. It started when he was born, so that eventually he could use him to lead hundreds of thousands of people out of Egypt. Don't you think he's been working on your life up to this point? Couple other points, and I'll close with this. I wish we had a transporter room, like the old Star Trek. Or we could just transport the worship team up here. But they do a good job. You barely see them. And I appreciate them being here. So a couple other points, and I'll close with this. When Moses fled from Egypt after he killed the Egyptian and hid his body, he was 40 years old. And then he fled to Midian, and he was there, as I said a while ago, he was there for another 40 years. That means it took 80 years for God to prepare Moses for the purpose that he had saved him for when he was a baby. I'm pretty sure that there aren't very many people who are here today who have killed someone and hidden their body. I could be wrong, but I'm going to go with that assumption. While that part may be an assumption on my part, I know for a fact that there are some folks here today who are over 80 years old. So let me say, if you are over 80 years old, you're just not exempt. Because Moses was 80 years old when God called him to go back to Egypt to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And God continued to use him for at least another 40 years. So basically, unless you're at least 120 years old, you're not exempt. And I think that covers everybody. Now, let me say this. What God calls you to do at 20 or at 15 might be different than what he calls you to do at 80. But it doesn't wipe out the calling. I remember Bill Barta. I miss him so much. Bill Barta was great. And he was the one that if you got a card in the mail around your birthday, your anniversary, or just seemingly when you were having a bad day and you go out and there's a card there, guaranteed when you opened it up, it was from Bill Barta. We celebrated Bill's 90th birthday, I think, before he passed away. I remember going into the hospital when he was in his late 80s. And the doctors had said he probably wasn't going to leave the hospital that time. True story. I go in the hospital, and Bill is sitting up in the bed, and he has one of these portable writing desks. He has a box of cards. He's got his address list over here. And here he is with the doctor saying he's probably not even going to go home, and he's addressing cards and signing them, Brother Bill. Don't tell me God can't use you. He could have said, but I'm sick. But he knew that was his calling at that point in his life. And he did it with joy. And he did it with fervor. Here's what it comes down to. If you're thinking, yeah, but Pastor, you don't know my past. We'll say two things. I don't care about your past. And secondly, look at Moses. If you're thinking, well, you don't know how old I am, let me say again, number one, it doesn't matter. And secondly, look at Moses. The story of the life of Moses is in the Bible for more than just a cool children's story. It is there for us to reassure us that God is able to use each of us to accomplish His will on this earth. If you are willing, God will use you. It's God calling. The question is, will you answer the call? And I don't say these things to, I'm not beating anybody up over the head today. I'm saying this to encourage you. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done. God still can use you. If He can use a murdering, stuttering sheep herder, He can use me. And He can use you. If you don't remember anything else I said today, remember these three words. Here I am. That's what God wants from us. He wants us to be willing to say, here I am. Would you stand? If you have never made a start to live for the Lord, if I ask you today, if you died today, do you know where you would spend eternity? And you say, well, I think I'd probably go to heaven. Do better than I think. I think is not good. You need to be able to say, without a doubt, I know if I died right now, I'm going to heaven. And if you can't say that today, would you just make your way to the front? Somebody will meet you here. They will pray with you, pray for you. If you've never been baptized, we will set up a time when we can baptize you. I know we have some folks that have been talking about being baptized, and we're going to have a baptismal service here real soon. But we can take care of that. But it all starts with just coming before God and saying, God, I realize I'm a sinner. There is nothing I can do about it on my own, but I believe that the blood of Jesus Christ is enough to cover my sins. And we repent. Repent meaning not just say I'm sorry, but to change direction. If we're headed this way, we turn around, we head that way. And we make Him the Lord of our life. We place Him in control of our life. If you've never done that, as we sing here this morning, would you come? If you have been living for the Lord for many, many years, but you're not fulfilling what you know God has called you to, I'm going to ask you to come this morning and just pray, Lord, make my heart to where I am willing. And if you don't even know what God has called you to do, would you find your way to the front and find a place to pray and say, God, just show me. Here I am. Just tell me where I need to go. If it's Egypt, I'll go. Even though I don't feel qualified, I'm going to trust you enough to know that if you called me, you will go with me. So this morning, as the worship team sings, would you just find a place and pray? Let's come this morning.